Welcome to On Jordan, a podcast on the latest developments in Jordanian politics, featuring interviews with experts from across the Hashemite Kingdom. My name is Aaron Magid, a former Amman-based journalist, now in Washington. On March 30th, Reporters Without Borders issued a statement expressing its concern that six journalists have been arrested or charged in Jordan during the previous month. The report cited three investigative journalists who have been charged with spreading fake news in connection with a story related to the Pandora Papers. A member of this team was arrested at Queen Alia International Airport in Amman before being released on bail. Another journalist, Ahmed Hassan Al-Zoubi, a Jordanian columnist for the website Sawalif, had his car intercepted on the way to Amman's airport by security forces on March 24th. Authorities confiscated his phone and ID papers at security headquarters before releasing him 2 hours later. Another longtime Jordanian journalist, Tagrir Rishek, was detained at the Amman airport on March 7th for 11 hours. After Tagrir arrived in America last week, I was able to catch up with her about her detention at the airport in Amman. Tagrir worked as a reporter for the Jordanian newspaper Al-Ghad for 17 years, and in 2014 won the King Hussein Award for Excellence in Journalism. Currently, she is the Arabic Media Manager at Dawn. Thank you for joining us, Tagrir.
Hi, Aaron. Thank you for having me.
What happened when you arrived at the Amman airport last month?
I arrived at Queen Alia International Airport. So I went to stamp my Jordanian passport to enter the country. I was going there for vacation and to visit my family. And the officer there who checked my passport said that I cannot leave the airport and that I have to see a police officer. And then he directed me to an area where I should sit and wait for the security officer to come and meet me. And I waited for a while, then another officer came and took me to an office where he informed me that there's a criminal complaint against me under the cyber crime law. So I tried to get more information from him, but he said he doesn't have more information. All that he can see is that my name was showing on his computer that I have this criminal complaint against me. And then he told me that I can send someone to Zahran police station in Amman. He said, you can send someone there to bail you out now. It was like around 1 a.m. So I talked to one of my relatives and I asked him to go. And he went to the police station, actually. But they refused to let him bail me out. And they said that the reason was that the head of the police station was not there. So that was it. I spent the night there at the airport cell. I had a police officer with me, a female police officer with me in the cell, in the room. And outside the room, there were like three police officers guarding the room. So I was like detained until the morning.
What was the reason they gave you for the detainment?
That was the reason that there is a cybercrime complaint against me from an individual, a private citizen. They said that I have to go to the court to stand before the public prosecutor. And I said, yeah, I can do that. But why do you have to detain me? I can just leave and go to the court next day. But they chose to detain me.
So what was the specific complaint against you?
Yeah, the complaint was this writer, his name is Ahmed Salameh. He complained against me for a tweet that I tweeted on January the 13th. There are things that I didn't like in the article. And as a citizen and as a human, I have the right to criticize an article. When I expect anybody, any writer, when you write an article, you expect people to criticize you or praise you. You shouldn't go and file complaints against people for criticizing your article. So he filed a complaint against me under the cybercrime law, Article 11. I was detained for that reason.
So in this tweet that caused you to get detained, you didn't criticize the king or queen, correct?
No, of course not. I did not. It has nothing to do with the king or the queen. No.
So it was just a tweet criticizing that one journalist?
I was expressing my opinion about an article that I read, since he is the writer of that article, then I was expressing my opinion about his writings.
Were you surprised that you were detained so long, even as an American citizen?
I was actually surprised because I wasn't notified by anyone that there is a criminal proceeding against me, and that two court hearings already took place when I wasn't even informed. I was also surprised that I was detained over a tweet. Just like I said now, that a private citizen can file a criminal complaint against another citizen, that would get that person detained. That's regardless of me being American or Jordanian citizen. I actually entered Jordan using my Jordanian passport. I didn't use my US passport because I was thinking that I'm going, Jordan is my country also. So yeah, but I didn't mention to the officer that I have a US passport until a later.
If I understand correctly, the Jordanian court started your case even before you were detained at the airport?
Yeah, exactly. The writer filed the complaint against me on February 1st, while the court, without ever notifying me, had already held two hearings at that time on my case. One of them was on February 27th, and the second was actually the same day I was detained. It was March 7th. So it was just happening without me knowing that I was charged of anything.
Did the prosecutor's office know that you were in America when they started a trial against you for this tweet?
They didn't know I was in America. They just knew that I was outside of the country.
So after the 11-hour detention at the airport, what happened next?
A police officer at the airport informed me that I have to appear at Zahran police station within 72 hours. And then from there, I have to go to the public prosecutor. Then 48 hours actually later, I did go to the police station with my lawyer. A police officer there took my statement and asked me like questions. Is this your Twitter account? Did you write this tweet? And then he instructed me to go straight to the Amman Penal Magistrate Court. And a police officer accompanied me there, along with my lawyer, of course. So I went there and I stood before the judge there. I didn't see a public prosecutor, actually, because the hearings were already taking place. So the public prosecutor already approved the case.
And during this trial period, were you allowed to leave Jordan?
Yeah, when I was released, there wasn't a travel ban imposed on me. But when I stood in before the judge on like 48 hours later, he did impose a travel ban on me because he said he either will detain me or impose a travel ban. So he chose to do the latter.
For those listeners who aren't familiar with your background, what's your connection to Jordan?
I am Jordanian. I was born in Amman. I lived most of my life in Jordan, like studied in Jordan, and my family is in Jordan. I worked as a full-time journalist for more than 14 years before I moved to the U.S. in 2016, where I remained like corresponding to a Jordanian newspaper from D.C., so my family is still there, my friends are there, my colleagues are there. I go there regularly, of course.
Were there any U.S. officials or members of Congress who intervened on your behalf?
Yes, actually. Representative Betty McCollum sent a letter to the Jordanian embassy, Jordanian ambassador, actually, in D.C., and I have heard that other member of Congress also contacted the embassy and that they expressed their dissatisfaction with the situation. Like Betty McCollum is the only one who issued an official letter, and she posted it actually on her Twitter account. And but the rest of the Congress people, I've heard about a few others who did contact the embassy, but I don't think I can say their names because it was not public. And the embassy in Jordan, the U.S. embassy in Jordan, did a great job actually for me. The consular section, they were calling me every day and I'm sure they were doing something, and they were getting updates from me every day for what was going on.
And what did Congresswoman Betty McCollum write in her letter?
Actually, she said that she was expressing her concern about my arrest since I am an American Jordanian journalist. And she like detailed what happened with me, how I was detained as soon as I arrived at Queen Alia International Airport in Amman. She said that I was facing criminal charging for posting a tweet in January. I'm reading from the letter right now, okay? So the last paragraph said, as a supporter of the U.S.-Jordanian relationship, Ms. Rishik's arrest is of great concern to me. It is my hope that Jordanian prosecutors and officials will dismiss these charges and allow Ms. Rishik to immediately return to the U.S. With so many reasons to foster bilateral cooperation, our countries must not allow a tweet to strain this important relationship.
So how did the case get dropped in the end?
The writer who filed the complaint against me decided to drop the charges against me, and then the case was closed. I was at the court on March 9th, and I can't remember the exact dates, but I think he dropped the charges on Monday. It was maybe March 14th.
After this experience, how would you describe the state of freedoms in Jordan today?
It's not as I would like it to be. People for issues related to freedom of speech, journalists, activists, for speaking out, criticizing the government. They're using the cybercrime law to suppress the free speech. I really don't like to see that, as many other Jordanians doesn't like to see that happening in Jordan. You have lived in Jordan, Aaron, and you know that Jordan is, like we can say, relatively better than some other Middle Eastern countries in that regard. But that does not mean that the Jordanian government is not somewhat repressive or restrictive. But in general, it's better than many other Arab countries. And we all know that. Yeah, I don't know why they're doing that. And I wish like things would get better and people would enjoy more freedom of speech. I would always like to see Jordan different than other Arab restrictive countries. I don't want the situation to get worse. You know that the Jordanian constitution, like the first paragraph of Article 15 in the Jordanian constitution reads, the state guarantees freedom of opinion, and every Jordanian has the freedom to express his opinion verbally, in writing, photography, and all other means of expression, provided that he does not go beyond the limits of the law. So this is our constitution. Our constitution guarantees our freedom of speech. I just wish that would be applied and they would be less restrictive.
Well, thank you very much for joining us. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you so much, Aaron, for having me.
That was Tahrir Rishik. Here's what else you should know this week. On Sunday, Hamza, the son of King Hussein, announced on Twitter that he was relinquishing the title of prince. Hamza wrote, "Following what I've witnessed in recent years, I've come to the conclusion that my personal convictions, which my father instilled in me, and which I tried hard in my life to adhere to, are not in line with the approaches, trends, and modern methods of our institutions." Hamza's post marked the one-year anniversary of the sedition affair that landed the half-brother of King Abdullah under house arrest. Hamza's implicit criticism of King Abdullah in his April tweet came only weeks after an apology published by the royal court in March, purportedly signed in Hamza's name, asking the Jordanian monarch for forgiveness. As of April 6th, the royal court has not responded to Hamza's latest statement, and Hamza's tweet, which was posted on the first day of Ramadan, did not receive significant coverage in the Jordanian media. In other news, Jordanian security forces arrested at least 25 members of the country's teachers union on March 29th to prevent a protest at the education ministry. This was the second large arrest campaign in 1 week, with Hashemite officials arresting 45 political activists on March 24th. Jordan ordered the disbandment of the 150,000 member teachers union in 2020, and most of its leadership was arrested. Activist Raya Sharbane wrote on Twitter, 2020, arrested for participating in a protest. 2021, arrested on the way to a protest. 2022, arrested in your home for intending to participate in a protest. Finally, King Abdullah welcomed Israeli President Isaac Herzog to Amman on March 30th, with a ceremony including an honor guard with the Jordanian and Israeli flags in the backdrop. The visit came a day after Israeli Defense Minister Benny Gantz met the Hashemite monarch in Amman in the same week as King Abdullah visited Ramallah for the first time since 2017 to meet Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas. King Abdullah called on Israel to avoid any measures that could hinder Muslim worshippers' access to the Al-Aqsa Mosque and condemn the attack near Tel Aviv, which killed 5 Israelis. Before I go, please subscribe to the podcast on Spotify, Apple, or Google Podcasts to be notified of new episodes. And feel free to listen to previous week's episodes on the East Bank Palestinian political dynamics with Professor Sean Yam and Osama Sharif discussing Jordanian political reform. Finally, if you're listening to the podcast, especially if you live in Jordan and think you'd be a great guest, please reach out to me on Twitter at Aaron Magid or via email aaron.magid1@gmail.com. Ramadan Kareem to those observing the holy month as well. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back.